Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen. And today on the episode, I am going to cover benztropine, which the brand name for that medication is Cogentin. Now, it's not a medication that's used incredibly often, and at least in my practice, in my experience, the most common situation I've seen it used for is drug-induced extrapyramidal symptoms. And the most common class of medications that cause these adverse effects are antipsychotics. So these can be, you know, antipsychotics can obviously be super helpful in patients with schizophrenia, for example, in reducing, you know, psychosis, hallucinations, delusions, things of that nature. However, they can cause these movement adverse effects, which are called extrapyramidal symptoms. And so benztropine can be used to help manage this adverse effect. Now, I do want to caution that the drug is not really intended to be used for prophylaxis. So, for instance, we don't give, you know, risperidone and automatically give benztropine with it. We actually wait generally for these patients to develop these adverse effects, and sometimes they don't have extrapyramidal symptoms. But in the event that a patient is really, really responsive to the antipsychotic, and we have maybe tried alternative agents and they're having these troublesome extrapyramidal symptoms, but we feel that the benefit of keeping it on board is actually worth it for the patient in just managing those side effects. So that's where benztropine, I've seen it used most in that setting. Important differentiation, it is not recommended for management of tardive dyskinesia. And now tardive dyskinesia is more of a longer-term adverse effect or complication from antipsychotic therapy that can result in movement disorders as well. But the way to differentiate extrapyramidal symptoms or EPS from TD, tardive dyskinesia, is really the timing is probably the easiest way. And extrapyramidal symptoms are going to happen generally within days or weeks of initiating antipsychotic therapy or increasing a dose. Versus tardive dyskinesia, generally that's going to be months, probably more likely years later that's going to develop from long-term use of antipsychotics. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, this medication and extrapyramidal symptoms. It's also classified as an anti-Parkinson's type agent. And if I recall correctly, and don't quote me on that, I think it was one of the first agents used in the management of Parkinson's disorder. And there's the thought with Parkinson's that there's kind of this disequilibrium between dopamine and acetylcholine. And this drug is an anticholinergic medication. So its anticholinergic activity basically blocks the action of acetylcholine, which again is thought to kind of play a role in Parkinson's. Dopamine is generally the first neurotransmitter that we think about with Parkinson's, because we, you know, certainly give Sinemet. We replace dopamine, basically. And go listen to that podcast if you want more information on that drug specifically. But just remember that kind of potential for acetylcholine to play a role there as well. So that may lead you to the question, okay, why isn't benztropine or Cogentin used more in Parkinson's disorder? Well, the big problem with it is its adverse effect profile, and particularly as you escalate doses. So remember, this medication is an anticholinergic type medication. So dry eyes, dry mouth, urinary retention, constipation, all very, very bothersome, annoying adverse effects for patients, for sure. And sometimes, obviously, can be pretty harmful and serious. We've also, with anticholinergics, we've got, you know, increasing fall risk. You know, many patients with Parkinson's are generally older, so they may not, you know, tolerate these medications that well anyway. Can contribute to confusion, dementia-type symptoms, delirium. And so these drugs are tough to take, especially maybe at higher doses. One other thing to consider as you escalate doses with this drug is it can cause an anhidrosis-type situation, which could potentially lead to hyperthermia, so elevation in temperature. And obviously, you know, there's certain things that may increase the risk of this, obviously, as we escalate the dose, you know, but patients may be living in warmer weather, warmer climates, you know, they're outside exercising, they get warmed up, you know, alcoholic-type patients may be at, you know, water deficit, may be able to less respond better to temperature changes. Same thing with elderly. You know, their body may not adapt quite as well, and they may be more intolerant to that potential adverse effect. Rarely, you may see some changes in heart rate, particularly as we escalate doses. I always think about, you know, atropine being used to help in a bradycardia situation. Atropine is an anticholinergic drug. So any anticholinergic can potentially cause this. You know, generally in most anticholinergics, we're using lower doses, and it's probably not an issue. But I do want to mention it just in case you've got a patient on a, you know, large number of anticholinergics. Maybe they're sensitive to tachycardia for some other reason as well. Let's take a quick break, and I'll finish up on drug interactions after the break here. If you enjoy the podcast, want to support the podcast, go visit meded101.com/store. Great books for everyone. If you're a nurse, nurse practitioner, physician, med student, pharmacist, of course, definitely go check out the resources there. We've got books with clinical pearls, drug interactions, case studies, and also we've got a agreement with Audible, where you can get your first book for free. So if you want to, you know, test it out, get 6-8 hours of free content, definitely go follow the link there at meded101.com/store. If you're a pharmacist specifically, a pharmacy student, check out our NAPLEX content, BCPS, BCACP, BCGP, and medication therapy management certification study materials now as well. So all at meded101.com/store, and thanks for the support. All right, finishing up on drug interactions, I think the first thing I think about when I think about an anticholinergic medication, you know, in this case, benztropine, and other drug interactions is I think about the anticholinergic effect. And you may hear that term, anticholinergic load. And I think about patients who are taking other medications that may have anticholinergic effects. So, for instance, one of the most, you know, common medications I see patients take, particularly geriatric patients, is Benadryl or diphenhydramine for sleep, and that could certainly have additive anticholinergic effects, dry mouth, dry eyes, confusion, so on and so forth. Other, you know, medications, so respiratory anticholinergics, I think about ipratropium, maybe tiotropium, there's definitely others in that class as well. But think about those. Generally, they don't have as much for systemic adverse effects. But probably the most common one I see, kind of additive if a patient's already on anticholinergics, is dry mouth, certainly, because these drugs are inhaled. And certainly around the mouth area, they can certainly have good activity there, or negative activity, maybe I should say, at causing that dry mouth. Urinary incontinence drugs, oxybutynin, tolteridine are a couple of common ones there that have anticholinergic effects. Drugs that can be used for anxiety and itch and sleep, maybe a doxepin, maybe hydroxyzine, for example, there. Tricyclic antidepressants, you know, your amitriptylines, your nortriptylines, things of that nature. So definitely, you know, review that medication list. It's something that I always do. Go through there, making sure that we're not, you know, having multiple drugs that have anticholinergic effects and the patient's presenting with some of those adverse effects. other medications, I think, you know, with additive adverse effects. So constipation, for example, just a quick example there, you know, patients maybe who are taking opioids and anticholinergics, well, those are two drugs that are really, really constipating that could really have some additive effects there. And one last one I did want to mention, you got to think about dementia medications. I think about acetylcholinesterase inhibitors, so a drug like donepezil. And you got to remember that benztropine can potentially block the effects of that medication and worsen cognitive impairment, contribute to confusion, and all sorts of things like that. That's enough today on benztropine. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the podcast, picked up a pearl or two. And if you enjoy the show, leave us a rating, review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. Incredibly appreciative for that. Go snag your free 31-page PDF at reallifepharmacology.com. Simply subscribing and getting email updates as to when we have a new podcast will get you access to that PDF. Great little resource for anybody preparing for a board exam, pharmacy students, pharmacology exams. Great little resource on the top 200 drugs there. I'm going to sign off for today. You can reach out to me at reallifepharmacology.com or meded101.com. Also find me on LinkedIn. I'm fairly active on there as well. Thanks for listening. I appreciate the support, all the kind words that I've received from y'all out there. Signing off for today.